I'd like to read with you, first of all, in Mark chapter 8, and all of our readings in the next half hour will be from Mark. Again, it's a privilege to be here, and I was surprised to be back. After 3 years, I thought it would be at least 30, but here we are again, and it's a privilege to be here and enjoy the conference as well, listening to our brothers expound the Word of God. Mark chapter 8 is where I'm going to begin and what the Lord has put on my heart. And before we read, I have to ask a little question to keep you awake. So here's the question. Who are they? Who are they? They believe in the resurrection. They believe in the unending existence of the soul. They believe in a literal hell and eternal damnation. They believe both in predestination and free will. They believe in the importance of purity in the believer's life. They believe in the importance of fellowship between believers. And they believe in a coming Christ. Who are they? Well, if I told you the answer, then you would just be able to go to sleep now. So you'll have to hold on, because we're going to speak about these people. And if you can stay with us, we should find the answer shortly. But we're going to read here in Mark chapter 8, and we'll start at verse 13. And he left them, this is the Lord Jesus, left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he, the Lord Jesus, charged them, saying, "Take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. I will stop there. We'll read more in a little bit. But you see right from the start that everyone in the boat has a concern. It's not all the same concern. The disciples, they're concerned about the fact they've got one loaf and a whole bunch of men, and how are they going to have enough to eat? Now, thankfully, I'm right at the point in this conference where that's the last of your concerns, where they have enough to eat. So that's a good concern we can just set aside for now, because you see, these disciples were so tripped up over this physical concern that the Lord Jesus, who was waiting for this opportunity to have them alone, to share with them the far greater concern, they missed it. They missed it. They were thinking about their foods. Now, maybe you'll be thinking about your nap, and I hope you'll hold off and you won't miss this concern of the Lord, because this is a concern. And it's a concern that translates into a command. We read it in verse 15, a charge. He charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware." And so there's a triple emphasis on this very important concern of the Lord. He charged them, "Take heed, beware." You see, the Master knows that there's a danger ahead. It's him that's speaking. It's the one that knows his disciples through and through. And he knows there's something very sinister, something very dangerous that just lurks with every possibility of seeping into the mixture of their minds and their hearts. And he's saying, "You beware. You take heed." And those words are continuous. You be constantly aware. You be constantly taking heed. The danger is always there. And so what's the danger? Young people? These are young people he's speaking to. The disciples were relatively young men. These are young believers. And he's saying to them, there's something that I know about you that you haven't realized yet, and this is a need that you have to beware of. This is something that you must be absolutely conscious of. What's the danger? What's the constant danger? Well, he says here, there's contaminants. He speaks about leaven. Yeast. You see, it's something hidden. It's something that it just takes a little bit of this, and it grows fast, it spreads quickly, it ferments, it putrefies, and it contaminates the whole lump. And he says there's two contaminants just like this that you and I need to be constantly aware of. What are they? Well, he says there's the leaven, the contaminant of Herod, and there's the leaven of the Pharisees. So what is it that we're watching out for? Well, we remember Herod. We met him back in chapter 6 of Mark's gospel. Remember all that happened there with John the Baptist? You just read through that sad story and you realize here's a man and he is being motivated and moved. His decisions and his thoughts are controlled by sensual desires. Brother, do I need to be aware of that? Do you? Do we need to be constantly on our guard for what appeals to our sensual desires? Absolutely. The leaven of Herod. It could so easily slip in and spread and destroy our lives and testimonies. But you see, the Lord, he put something in front of that. He put something before that. He said there's not only the leaven of Herod that we find spreading in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, for example, but he says there's the leaven of the Pharisees. And so I ask, are you and I constantly watching out for the leaven of the Pharisees? Our master says that that's a real danger and that we need to be vigilant. Young people, older ones, it's a constant risk. Here's some Pharisee facts. They're one of many sects. There's, at that time, there were 7 and maybe up to 24 different Jewish sects. And the Pharisees, even though we think of them as being a large group because we meet them so often in the New Testament, they're actually quite small. About 6,000, Josephus says, about 6,000 out of 1 million or so Jews living in Palestine at the time. So they're fairly small, but they have a lot of contact with the Lord Jesus. Interesting that. In fact, somebody's calculated that 20%, get this, 20% of the verses in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that speak about his earthly ministry involve him meeting with or speaking about the Pharisees and their doctrine. 20%. And so this group here, there's a lot of contact. And the interesting thing is, you know that list that I mentioned at the start, all those doctrines? Those were all doctrines of the Pharisees. Those are all things that we hold precious. And again, somebody's calculated it out, and they estimate that 90% of what the Pharisees believed and taught lines up parallel with what the Lord Jesus believed and taught. And so it's just that other 10%, that other little bit on the end there, that seems to be a problem. So what's this leaven of the Pharisees? We're going to turn to other scriptures in just a minute, but we're going to focus on Mark, but let me mention what Matthew says. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 12, it's a parallel passage to this. This is what it says. He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees. So in Matthew's gospel, we learn that there's a problem, not with the 90%, but with this 10%. This doctrine that is added on, we'll come back and think about this in a minute, but this 10% that began with good intentions. You see, those Pharisees, they thought, now this is what God says. And how could we bring God's people in line with what he says? Well, if we only add a little bit here and there, it will help focus and guide and bring everyone in line with what we want of obedience to God's word. And so those little extra bits got added in to try to be a help to God's people. But as we see, it becomes a millstone around their necks. And the focus moves from the 90% to the 10%. And we'll look at that in a minute. So the leaven of the Pharisees, we're going to learn it has to do with doctrine. There's doctrines that you and I need to be constantly watching out for. Types of doctrine. In Luke's gospel, what do we learn there about the leaven of the Pharisees? Luke 12, 1, it's a different scenario, a different situation. But there the Lord says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In Matthew 23, where the Lord condemns the Pharisees, listen to what he says. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin. And so they get all the spices they buy and they put them on the counter and they divide off the 10% to make sure they don't miss out on that law of God. And they've omitted, the Lord says, the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. They ought to have done that, not leaving the other undone. Hypocrisy. You see, they're concerned about the minute, and they miss the point. He's quoting from Micah chapter 6. You see, they miss out on judgment. Oh, they're quick at judging others. But you see, they're so happy that they're fulfilling the minute that they fail to judge their own motives. Have I stopped judging myself? Have I stopped looking at my own life, at my own heart? Has the leaven of the Pharisees enter in? Is there disconnect between the outside that you see and the inside side that I know and that God knows? Mercy. That's the second thing that's mentioned in this list of justice and mercy and faith. Mercy? Why don't they have mercy? Well, you see, as long as they're not judging themselves, they don't realize that they're ones that have need of mercy. And so there's no sense of others needing mercy. And so there's this arrogance looking down upon others. And faith. And faith. That parallels with what Micah says about this walking humbly with your God. You see, it's their thought of faith is purely the faith, the doctrine. And as essential as that is, we learn that the Lord demands of us not an external, simple, only external keeping the faith, but a humble, real, genuine walk with our God. That's the hypocrisy. And so the leaven of Pharisees, it's doctrine, it's hypocrisy, but I want to focus in on Mark's view. Look back in the chapter. Look at verse 11. Mark chapter 8 and verse 11. What prompted the Lord to say this? What happened before this? Look at verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. This is called the Patsitka Rabbati. If you don't know that word, that's okay. I didn't either. But it's the term the Pharisees used for this particular sign. You see, they had it in their mind over years of thinking and studying that there was one requirement for the Messiah. It would be the one who would come, he would go to the pinnacle of the temple, he would declare that there would be liberty for the people, and in that instant there would be a light that would shine down from heaven, the sign from heaven. It would shine down, and that would be the indication. That would be the sign that this is the Messiah. And so they're saying to the Lord, now give us the sign. Pesitka Rabbati that we're waiting for. What's happened? You see, they've made their own measuring stick. The Lord has given them plenty of signs. They're overlooking all of the miracles. They're looking over all of the teaching and all the fulfillment of prophecy. And this one measuring stick that they have made for themselves, it gets in the way of them appreciating who Christ is. And all of the evidence of the reality of that person. And so in Mark's gospel, the leaven of the Pharisees, it's this man-made measuring stick. Do you see what happened? Just follow this with me. The doctrine. That 10% that gets added on with good intention, it leads to the hypocrisy. Why? Because, well, the emphasis becomes the 10%. The 10% has to be external, since that's what I'm imposing on everyone else to try to conform them to what I think would be the way to keep God's law. That becomes external. It has to be external if I'm imposing on everyone else. The 10% becomes the focus, and so I'm satisfied as long as that external 10% is fulfilled in myself. That leads to the hypocrisy, because now within it doesn't have to match what's without. And the hypocrisy leads to the measuring stick. Because now I hold up what I view as all right with myself, and I say now that everybody else that doesn't line up with just that way of, they fall short. They're not spiritual. They're failing. Do I need to take heed? Do I need to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? Do we? Do we as God's people, as those that gather in his name and value the precious truths that are so plain in this book as far as how we should gather and what we should practice, are we immune in any way to this leaven of the Pharisees? Is there any risk that this could slip in? He says, be constantly taking heed. Be constantly aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. I want to take 15 minutes and go through Mark's gospel, because I want us to see exactly the symptoms, the evidences, that how the leaven of the Pharisees plays out. And the point in this is to speak to our own hearts. You see, this message, I'm fearful that it could be misused and misinterpreted, but my intention is to examine our own hearts. Let's go back to chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We want to look at the encounters of Christ with the Pharisees and learn the lessons and watch that the leaven of the Pharisees doesn't begin to appear in our mix. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? So what's happening here? You see, the Pharisees had a good basis. They were thinking of Exodus chapter 20, verse 10, that clearly lays out the teaching of the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, the seventh day, and that there's to be no work done, the sons, the daughters, the manservants, the maidservants, the cattle, the stranger within thy gates. But you see, the Pharisees had become so focused on that verse that they failed to see that there's another verse in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, that plainly makes it permissible, perfectly acceptable for the disciples to do what they did. In hunger, to partake of that standing corn. And so what is one of the symptoms of the leaven of the Pharisees? One symptom is just that. I become so focused on one verse, one teaching, one doctrine of Scripture, that I begin to emphasize it and apply it to the point where I start disregarding and writing over and failing to see and to include in my understanding of the Word of God other scriptures. It's the leaven of the Pharisees. Fixation on one truth at the expense of another. But keep reading. Verse 25, And he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he had need and wasn't hungered? He and they that were with him. Obviously, he's drawing a parallel between him as a rejected king and them wanting to kill him. But just keep reading. Verse 26. When he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them that were with him. 1 Samuel 21. David's fleeing. His followers are with him. They're hungry. They come to the house of God at Nob. David asks for 5 loaves of bread. The priest says there's only the showbread. It's only lawful for the priest. Leviticus 24. David eats it. And now the Lord Jesus says that was right. It was acceptable. Why? You see, there's a balance with God between the ceremonial form and the circumstances and needs of men. And I would suggest that the leaven of the Pharisee is likely present if I focus entirely on the ceremonial form to the exclusion, taking no account of any possibility of circumstances and genuine needs. It's the leaven of the Pharisees, and I find it in my own heart. Let's go to chapter 3, Mark chapter 3. This is not pleasant for me or for you, likely. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Obviously, they were intending to kill, but they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them, they were looking on him, now he's looking on them, with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, that they might destroy him. Interesting, the Lord did 7 miracles, that we have recorded at least, on the Sabbath day. Every single one of those miracles was meeting the need of an individual. Very interesting. 6 of them were healing, 1 was casting out demons. This is the 3rd of the 7. There's a lot of looking going on here. The Pharisees are looking. We read they're watching. And the thought is they're continually keeping watch on him. They're spying on him. And there's one motive in their watching, and that's to accuse him. We're just waiting. We're just waiting for the right word to slip, the right action to be done. And as soon as we get our chance, we're gonna bring him down. That's the Pharisees. The Lord's looking too. Did you catch that? He looked round about. You know what that means? It means he looked with a penetrating gaze, with anger. This is the only time in all of the Gospels that we find the Lord Jesus being referred to as angry. The only time. Thankfully, it's a word that means a short anger. But what follows is a continuous grief in his heart. Do you ever wonder if the Lord looks down at times with anger, a penetrating gaze upon his people, and with a continual grief in his heart when he sees the leaven of the Pharisees slipping into our minds and our hearts? You see, what's the leaven of the Pharisees here? What's the result? What's the symptom here? They're looking for a reason to accuse. They're looking for an opportunity to take him down. And when he does the miracle, when he does heal the man, they don't rejoice in God's blessing. They hold up their measuring stick to him and say, "You failed." And now they go about to plot to kill him. Let's come to chapter 7. Chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. I hope I never hold up the measuring stick that I've made and revile the one that God has blessed and seek to tear him down. May God preserve me. He was angry. Mark 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. When they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" How did this 10% happen? How all of these laws and... Well, look at exactly what happened. There's an explanation here. How it became that the Pharisees had these extra pieces, extra parts, the parts that we are being told to be continually vigilantly watching and guarding against. Look at verse 7. "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, 'Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition.'" What happened? Look at the digression. I was going to say progression, but it's a digression. Look at verse 7. "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." The commandments of men that began with good motives, with a desire to be a help to God's people and to give them some guidelines and bring them into confirmation with what the Word of God says. We'll add this and we'll add that and that's good. But what happened? It wasn't the fact that there were guidelines and traditions aren't bad. Traditions in the Scriptures are something passed down and taught. But teaching for doctrines, the commandments of man, not distinguishing the difference, not explaining that this is a guideline and a help, but saying this is in fact doctrine. This is in fact the Word of God, when it didn't have a solid basis, when it was really added by men. Where did that lead to? Verse 8, laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. Slowly the focus became not just as this is a help, but this became the core. This became the teaching. This became everything. And now the commandments of God are being neglected. And the emphasis is over and over and over the traditions of men. And where did that lead to? Verse 9. Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now anything that threatens those guidelines, it's rejected. Even if it's the plain word of God. Am I in danger of this? The Master says to me, take heed. Beware. Because it's so easy to focus on those external. It's so easy to teach those little extras and fail to distinguish the clear commands of God. What's the result of this? Well, there's two things here, isn't there? Verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me. That's a fairly solemn statement, I would say. The worship has become empty. Verse 13 gives us the other result, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. The worship is empty, and the teaching is empty. Why? Just because a little leaven slipped in. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Let's go to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Verse 13. I'll have to go quickly here. And they said unto him, or send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him at his words. And you know what happened? They have this question to do with Caesar, giving tribute to Caesar. It's full of insincerity here, flattering words. But the point is they're trying to force the Lord Jesus to a yes or no. They're trying to divide and conquer. They're trying to force him into one camp or the other. The leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. A divisive spirit. Try to force into one or the other in order to condemn. Look at verse 38, same chapter. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. Now here he doesn't mention the Pharisees, but if you go to Matthew 23, all of the things he mentions here, he plainly says of the Pharisees. So this all applies. Which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. So what's the measuring stick become? The long clothes, the salutations, the popularity among God's people? How popular? How popular is he? The popularity, the position, the chief seats, that's now the measure of spirituality. That's the measure. What seat do you have? What place? What's your role? Where are you? The long public prayers with a pretense of spirituality, wanting an influence and a following. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And so in just 2 minutes, I want to ask the question, did this leaven of the Pharisees, did it ever contaminate the disciples? You say, this would never be a problem for us, but I'm just wondering, did the disciples, did this ever slip into their thinking? Let's go to chapter 14 very quickly. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having a alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. the very ones he warns. They drop their vigilance. They drop their watch. They become imbalanced in their understanding of Scripture. They lose sight of Christ. Their hypocrisy, it boils over, and they use their unscriptural measuring stick, and they hold it up to the woman, and they condemn her. Which is worse, the pitfall of immorality or the pride of Pharisaicalism? Which is worse? We're awfully quick to judge the one, and yet do we look in to see the other? How do we deal with it? How should I deal with it in myself? Be constantly watching. It's going to try to creep in. Young people, you be constantly watching. It will try to creep into you and to your doctrine and your teaching. And if the Lord doesn't come, when you are responsible for God's people to lead them and guide them, be constantly watching. Confess it. Can I borrow the words of C.H.M. again? Anything that does not wear the distinct stamp of divine approval from the Scriptures, be gone with it. What is the Word of God and what is not? And away with it. And get our eyes on Christ. You see, that's what they failed to see. All of this leaven of the Pharisees, it blinded them to Christ. Can I leave you with this? In Matthew's gospel, what was it? It was the doctrine. What do we find as far as Christ in Matthew's gospel? Think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You see, they were all occupied about fulfilling. But if they had only had a look at the one who was there, the one who fulfilled, it would have all been done the way it should have been. Get our eyes on him. Fulfill as he fulfilled. In Luke's gospel, what was it? Hypocrisy. Who does Luke present to us? He presents to us not a hypocritical man, but a man who is inside and out in every way that perfect man, that Son of God. Get our eyes on him and on his character. And may our inward man reflect who he is. And then the outward man will be just the way it should be. What about Mark's gospel? The man-made measuring stick, the leaven of the Pharisees holding it up to measure everyone else in their service. Get our eyes on the man who is the perfect servant, the one who is meek and lowly. If those don't mark me, I ask myself, what about that leaven of the Pharisees within? He was meek and lowly, tender, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. If that's what marks you, thank God that the leaven of the Pharisees hasn't contaminated. But I ask, does it mark me? He charges. He charges to you, his disciples. He charges to me. Take heed. Constantly take heed. Beware. Constantly be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees.
Now I'd like to read with you, please, in 2 Samuel